Hi, everyone. Welcome to another Talking Insomnia episode. Today, I am joined by Emily, who recently went through our Insomnia Immunity Program. And so first off, I want to say hi, Emily. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Coach Michelle. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's great to see you. Haven't seen you in a little while, so I was excited about getting the chance to sit down with you today. And so we're going to do a little something different today. Normally, we tend to connect with people a lot when they're feeling kind of fairly or fully recovered, but we want to start sharing what all the different stages of insomnia recovery look like. And so today, Emily's going to share with you her experience with where she's at now, which is, you know, somewhere in the middle. And so I'll let her kind of explain, you know, what her experience has been like. But I think it's great that we're starting to share some of these different experiences with people, as opposed to just kind of what things look like at the end. So with that, I'd love to start off with kind of the beginning, right? How did your insomnia start? What did it look like for you when it did?
Yeah, so I think my insomnia has kind of always existed. I just remember, you know, from when I was a young girl, going to sleepovers and just, you know, being awake later than everyone. Same with, you know, summer camp or anytime I had like a big event coming up, just not sleeping well the night before. And even like when I went to college, I just had, I would call it like lowercase I insomnia. Like it was there. I got on a little prescription for a month or so and it was gone. So I've had bouts of that throughout my whole life, but I never really thought too much of it. I mean, it was annoying and I would be tired, but I was able to push through and it didn't really impact my day-to-day functioning. But what I call my capital I insomnia, or what I've been going through recently, it started almost a year ago when I had my son at the end of February, and it started. I was induced for labor, and I remember they had me go in at 8 p.m. and, you know, I was nervous. I was about to have a baby, and they actually gave me Ambien, and they said, take this, it'll knock you out, and then you'll be ready to go through labor the next day. And I took the Ambien, and I did not sleep at all that night, and I told the nurse the next morning, I was like, yeah, you know, like, I didn't sleep, and she looked horrified. She's like, you didn't sleep?
Oh.
And I just felt so much shame and guilt, and all of these feelings just like flooded me. And I just thought something was wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And I actually ended up being in labor for over 40 hours. So It went on, you know, the next, they ended up giving me something for anxiety too. And I was able to take a few little naps after that. But I ended up having my son on about 2 days of no sleep, and I did it. And like, that to me is like, so, I don't know, just powerful and empowering just to think that I had my son on like very little sleep. Like if I could do that, I can do anything. So when I got home from the hospital, I remember just feeling like a ball of anxiety. I was so anxious, and I looked at my husband and I said, I can't sleep. Like, I'm broken. I can't sleep. And he kind of just laughed like, that's not possible. Like, you'll hit a wall soon and you'll crash. But that never happened. Mm-hmm. I even called my doctor, I think the day I got home from the hospital, and I told her what was going on. And they said, you know, take 1 milligram of melatonin, because I was nursing. And so I took 1 milligram of melatonin. Sure enough, it did nothing. And it was kind of this game of me calling my doctor every few days and her giving me something new to try. And I would try it and it would fail. And I would call back, it didn't work. What else do you have? And it, like, I mean, that went on for probably 2 months. They just kept upping it. Like, and then eventually I was on, you know, very powerful drugs. And with those drugs, I was probably getting 1 to 2 hours of sleep a night. And I would just wake up and I would cry all day, and I was alone with my baby.
Right. You're also a new mom at this point, going through that experience.
Yes. Yes. And I wish I would have, you know, known in the moment, like most new moms aren't getting much sleep, but it just felt, it, I don't even know if it was the sleep at that point. It was just feeling like trapped in my own body. Mm-hmm. Because during the day, all I would think about was sleep. I would just ruminate about it and how I wasn't cut out to be a mom. And this was a mistake. Like I shouldn't be a mom if I can't sleep. And you know, my thoughts would go, you know, years into the future, which was so unhelpful. But I tried really, really hard to get help. And I've always been a big like self advocate. And I just kept trying and trying to get help. And it just seemed like the harder I tried, the worse things got, which was really, really scary. Mm-hmm. I remember I had an anxiety attack one day, just looking at my bed. I was just shaking with fear, and I broke down, and I made my husband take me to the emergency room, and it was a horrible experience. They assumed that I was suicidal, and so they made me strip down. They checked for weapons. The room they put me in was just terrible. It was a very like dehumanizing experience, and they told me like, you need to stay inpatient until we get this figured out. And for some reason, my husband and I decided, no, that's not the right course. And we didn't have anything else at that point. But I am so, so thankful that I did not do that, because I think it would have just made things a lot worse.
Yeah, absolutely. How long were you there? How long did you stay?
Well, so I only went to the emergency room for the night. And then they wanted me to stay that evening. I said no, just because that wasn't what we were expecting. So we went home, and you know, I continued to struggle.
Yeah. And you mentioned kind of trying so many different things along the way. Can you remember what were some of the things that you were trying along the way that kind of maybe weren't so helpful, but you know, as most of us do, right? Try one thing after the next.
Yep. So I tried a lot of I started more with, you know, melatonin and supplements, and then it went into more of the prescription strength drugs. And I mean, by the end of this, I was taking, you know, I think I was taking Ativan and hydroxyzine, a couple different things, and it would, you know, make me sleep for like 1 to 2 hours. And then I just felt so, you know, drugged up during the day. And I met with like a postpartum counselor too. And mm-hmm. I told her, I'm like, yeah, I just can't turn off my brain. And she told me, she's like, just tell yourself, like, I will sleep. I will sleep. Oh. And that just created such a pressure chamber. It was not helpful at all. You know, I tried, I had this newborn baby, but I had this really strict bedtime routine. I would spend like 2 hours. I would take a shower. I would journal. I would read. I would pray and meditate and all of these things. And then I would just get into bed. And I think every single night for the first couple of months, I would just get into bed literally shaking with fear. And I would lay there just trembling. I would, you know, I was on such little sleep. I would see like flashes of light, just really dark and scary things.
Yeah, no, all of that as you're sharing all of this sounds so familiar. It reminds me so much of what I went through. Everything down to the routines you mentioned, I had those too. And, you know, really needed to do them in the right order a lot of the time as well. And just the feeling of terror going into my bed night after night. So I resonate with a lot of that. And, you know, when you think back to that time, can you think of a time, like what was the most challenging part of your insomnia struggle for you, if you can remember?
I think the scariest, and I don't know if this is necessarily the most challenging, but just the scariest thing for me was just looking at my baby and thinking like, how am I supposed to live like this? How, like, what is his future going to look like with a mother who can't even sleep? That was probably the most frightening thing.
Yeah. I know that one thing that I hear so commonly is, especially with new moms or moms of small children, is how difficult it can start to be to feel connected to your child when you're going through an experience like this. Yeah. Did you experience that as well? And then there can be so many feelings of maybe guilt around that, worry.
Yes, for sure. And I think at the beginning of this, I would just look at my baby and I'd be like, if I never had you, I wouldn't be going through this, which looking back is so untrue because I've had insomnia before. This was nothing new. You know, how the intensity of it was new, but yeah, it was really hard to connect. And I think, you know, I don't know what came first, the chicken or the egg, but there was the insomnia and then there was the anxiety and the depression. And I truly don't know if it was, you know, the anxiety and depression caused the insomnia, if it was the lack of sleep that made the anxiety and depression worse, but it was really hard to connect with my son. I would say until like maybe he was 6 months old, like I just felt like I was taking care of someone else's kid. Like I felt like I was babysitting and like the mom just wasn't coming home. That's what it felt like.
Oh, I can't even imagine how hard that must have been. And that's a really common experience. I hear that a lot. And it's as difficult as that must be. It is kind of I hate to use the word normal, but to normalize it, right, can be a part of experiencing higher levels of anxiety, sleeplessness, perhaps depression. And I think the more people know that, okay, that is a common experience. Lots of new moms do actually experience this, especially when they're going through something like this, it can help because I think people feel so alone in that experience. And so there can be a lot of shame around that where there shouldn't be, of course. And also how it's also so expected that whatever moment in time, whatever stressor, whatever thing was happening that sparked our insomnia, because we all have something, right? That sort of, this was the beginning, this was the spark. And if it was having a child, oftentimes we think, well, if I'd never done that, right? And so we all do that. And we all do that with whatever the starting point was, we all go back and think, oh, if I hadn't done that thing, maybe I wouldn't be here. So just to kind of share how normal it is, I think it's impossible to not have that particular thought pattern with ourselves when we're going through such immense struggle with all of this, which I completely understand. So along the way, you were trying lots of different things. And so how long was it that you were really kind of trying all this stuff that wasn't really helpful until the point where you stumbled on our program at the Sleep Coach School? Like how long, do you remember how long that was?
Yeah. And I guess my story is kind of interesting because I found, I remember just, you know, being awake in the middle of the night and I was looking on Instagram and I typed in like hashtag postpartum insomnia and Coach Brittany came up and I looked through her page and I was like, this is what I'm going through. And that was probably, like 2 months into it. So pretty quick, I found it. And I was like, yep, this is it. And I started listening to Coach Daniel's videos and there was definitely some relief that came. But it wasn't like the people who find it and then they're instantly better and they move on. That was not my case at all. I actually found Brittany and was able to connect with her, which was just so comforting to know someone else who had been through it and who understood. So I found her and then I actually went the medical route after finding her. I was like, yes, this is it. And then I started talking to some friends and they were like, well, have you gotten checked for adrenal tumors or brain or postpartum hyperthyroidism, all these things? And I was like, well, no, I haven't. Maybe there is something really wrong. So I actually found Brittany and then went the medical route. I mean, I had every single test done. I had the brain MRI. I had all types of blood tests. I had a heart monitor that I wore. I did a tilt table test. I mean, everything, you know, there is for all of these symptoms of insomnia. And overall, I was very healthy. But that process took months to go through that testing. And I think during that, there was always like, well, what if? Like, what if there is just a medical problem? And then I fix that and I'm better. Yeah. And really, I would say it wasn't until the last couple months that I just was like, no, like there's not something else there. This is just insomnia.
Yeah. And I think most of us go down a similar route at some point because we're having so many physical symptoms, along with this. It's not just sleeplessness, right? It's the racing heart or the sweating or the twitching or the jerks, maybe panic attacks, all of it. And so because we feel it all so physically, it can get really confusing. And I remember going down that pathway with myself as well and being so focused on physical symptoms and thinking, when I find the physical root to this, this will solve everything. And going through test after test and, you know, similar to you, just being told like, there's nothing here. Right? You're okay. Like you're healthy. And, you know, in part you're relieved to hear that, but you're also not getting answers at the same time. Mm-hmm. We can at the same time be frustrating when nothing physical is being found, but you're having a very physical experience. And I think that can be very confusing for people, that physical, how physically this can actually show up when it's really not a physical cause or an underlying physical root, if that makes sense. Absolutely. So at that point you went through after finding Brittany and kind of going the medical route for a little while and then kind of, I guess, circling back. And at that point, was it then that you decided to start the group program?
Yeah. And I think throughout that whole, like, however long all of that, you know, medical testing took, I never stopped listening to the channel. Like it was still always there. And during that time, I mean, my sleep got better than it was the first couple of months. I mean, it was never like that again. I was probably getting like, you know, 4 to 5 hours a night, maybe, I don't know, for the summer and into the fall. It was at some point, I think it was October when I started in the insomnia immunity program. I kind of just had a meltdown and I was like, I don't know what else to do. And my dad actually challenged me. He's like, you need to do that program. Like you haven't tried everything. And I remember I was like, well, insomnia is all about like not doing anything. Like I shouldn't do anything. And I was almost twisting Daniel's message. It's not about not doing anything. It's not about neglecting yourself and your needs. It's about learning to show yourself that kindness. And I think that message can, I don't know if it does for other people, but for me, I definitely twisted it. Like I need to ignore this. I need to pretend that it's not here. And that's not true. It's there. And it's really, really hard. I mean, anyone who's been through it, it's the hardest thing I've ever been through in my life. And so learning that I can still do the program and the program does not have to be a sleep effort. It can be just an opportunity to learn and to grow and just to like obtain more knowledge from you and Coach Daniel. So once I kind of had that turning point in my mindset, I decided to join the program.
No, that's such a good point. And I think that message can be misinterpreted pretty easily, right? And so just ignore this, don't pay any attention to it, which is kind of impossible when you're in it to pretend it's not happening.
Because it makes it worse, I think. I really think it makes it worse when you just pretend it's not there.
Yeah, well, because it is, right? So you're almost denying reality. And I think there's an element of when we're ignoring something, there's still an element of stress and tension around that because we have to push it away. We have to keep it at bay to ignore something. So yeah, but that's a common misperception. It's just, well, that isn't that the same thing as, right? If I do anything, won't that be a sleep effort? And that's sort of the idea of like of being, or the misconceptions around sleep efforts too. And really it's all about moving away from all the stress, the tension, the forcing, the pressure. Yeah. Right. As opposed to just ignoring and pretending that it's not there. But it's tricky because sometimes when you hear some of these concepts, especially initially, it's confusing and they can be taken out of context.
Yeah.
Befriending wakefulness is another one that's so commonly taken out of context to mean, well, we have to be having a lot of fun at night. Right. We've got to enjoy this. And it's like, nope.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. We don't have to enjoy. If you're not enjoying
fun. No one wants to be up in the middle of the night.
No one is choosing this experience. We'd all prefer that it wasn't happening. So there's so much to kind of learn around all of that stuff. And do you have any kind of memories of being in the program of recalling a moment where it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense, or that kind of clarifies something, like a moment of something resonating for you? Just, you know, put you on the spot, you know?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things I learned in the program. And I think for anyone who's, you know, wondering if it's the right next step, I think it's worth joining. I think for me, just having the community and other people who were in it, you know, because you watch the success stories and it's like, well, they're not in it right now. And just having people who you can relate to, just that was very, very powerful. Actually, Brittany also made a Facebook page. It's like Postpartum Insomnia Support Group. And so I joined that too. And just, I think being part of both of those groups was just very, just comforting. You feel a little less alone in something that's very isolating and lonely. I think something that you taught me was, you know, welcoming in those feelings, and it doesn't have to be like, okay, I'm going to make myself suffer tonight. Yeah. I think just allowing yourself to feel whatever comes up for whatever amount of time you feel comfortable with. And then if you're done, you can go do something else. Mm-hmm. I remember just like putting my hand on my chest and listening or feeling my heart beat like really heavily. And then sometimes it would be a minute, sometimes it would be 30 minutes. And then I would go, you know, watch TV or read a book or do something. But I think that mindset is really big too. And I learned this phrase, it's called awfulizing.
Oh, I've never heard of this phrase. Tell me more.
So many of us do. You take a situation that's hard and you twist it to tell yourself that it's the most awful experience you could ever go through. Yes. And hearing about that, I was like, oh, that's what I'm doing. And I've been able to shift my mindset. Yes, it's hard. And yes, it's uncomfortable, but I'm safe. And I've just stopped awfulizing it. So yeah, those are some things that I learned that really helped me.
That's amazing. And where did you heard the word awfulizing? I love the little, that term.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? My counselor has, it's like a list of like cognitive distortions. And that was one of them. She's like, this is what you're doing.
Yeah. And that's what we all do when we're struggling with insomnia. And I often talk about this idea of there's what's happening to us. And then there's the story we're telling ourselves about what's happening to us.
Yeah.
And it's not that what's happening isn't difficult, but the story we tell can make it really feel quite unbearable and really bring in so much suffering. Yeah. So that's what made me think of when you said awfulizing. It's like the story that we are living in day after day after day and creating even more suffering. And we don't realize when we're in that necessarily, but sometimes when we take a step back, we can see all the stories that we're telling ourselves about it.
Yeah. You know,
during the night, but also during the day too, right? Sometimes 24 hours around the clock, we're in a story about how this will never end, how life is over. And I know I did that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it carries over right into other internal struggles, like any form of anxiety or depression, and the story you tell yourself about it, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, no, it's really, really important. And even starting to see the story, to see the narratives that we all have in our minds can be powerful, right? We don't even need to start to try to force and change them in the moment, but just to see them is powerful. It starts to take a little bit of, you know, the monster away, or a little bit of the power of the story away, and then you can work from there. But now I love that term. I think it sums it up really beautifully. And, you know, we have people kind of in the program for so many different lengths of time. And sometimes people will stay in the Insomnia Immunity program until they feel fully recovered. And then, you know, they're ready to go. And other times people will stay until they feel like they've learned a bunch and they feel this level of like confidence to, you know, it's time to go it alone, so to speak. And so that's where you were at. You're like, you know what? Maybe I'm not fully there, but I'm ready to go it alone. And we're always very encouraging of that, because it's so important to follow your gut on when it's time. And oftentimes the next stage of recovery starts to occur post leaving the program, right? When we're kind of on our own. So what was that decision like for you? And also, what has it been like since like essentially leaving the program? And what does life look like now?
So I decided to leave because I felt like I had learned so much, and really like the struggle had started to lessen. I noticed, my sleep wasn't necessarily improving at that point. I think I decided to leave about a month and a half ago. But I noticed my days were so much better. I was thinking about sleep less. I was worrying about it less.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Like, if my days are going better, I think I'm ready to try this on my own. I decided to leave, and I actually emailed you the first night I decided to leave. I did not sleep at all that night, and it was the first time that had happened since, I don't know, April or May. I really didn't have many of those nights, and that was really scary.
Of course.
And I think I had to remind myself, like, the program is not the reason I'm sleeping. The reason I'm sleeping is because of all my education and how I've learned how to surrender and let go of these things. Not completely, but a little bit more each day. And I kept thinking about this interview too. And I was like, I have to be perfect. I have to be ready. And I was just creating more pressure for myself. And so when I reached out and asked, hey, can I do a video interview as someone who's not fully recovered, it was funny. After that, I've been doing a lot better. And I think, it's just all of that pressure we put on ourselves. It just makes sleep so much harder. And there's no reason to pressure ourselves. Sleep is not a measure of how good you are. There's no performance expectations. It's just being there.
Yeah. And it's not a measure of who you are or something you've done wrong or anything like that. It's an experience you're having, a difficult one, but an experience. And something that one of our coaches in training, I remember, said recently, where she had said, Pauline had said, and all experiences eventually do come to an end. Mm-hmm. And I liked that. I thought that was, poignant and so true. And so sometimes we become so identified with this experience that it becomes part of our identity. And it's helpful to pull that apart to see, this is just something I'm experiencing, and it's temporary.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's so I'm a Christian, and there's just been so many parallels with your teachings and my faith and my beliefs too. And so that's been really cool, just to leave the identity of I'm an insomniac to, go back to who I am and what I believe, and to even see like what has insomnia taught me, that aligns with my beliefs. There's a verse I really like. It's Romans 5:3-4. And it goes, we rejoice in our sufferings because suffering produces perseverance, character, and character hope. And like that verse, I think that just embodies, that's my experience with insomnia. And suffering's not easy. It's really, really hard, but that's how we learn and we grow. And, whatever we believe, that's where we get to show our faith and in what we believe, because it doesn't look bright. Things look really scary in the future, but it's a chance to grow.
That's amazing. Would you say that your faith, helped you accept some of the uncertainty around this process?
A hundred percent. Yeah. I mean, so I'm a Christian, and we have the Bible, and just the Bible is a book. It's filled with so many stories of hurt and suffering and, really dark things, but there's always some redemption or healing. That's the beauty of all of those stories. And I think being able to take a step back and, remind myself like, hey, I might not ever know the reason for this, on this side of life. But knowing that there was a bigger purpose, I think just really helped me. And even challenging myself to think, hey, what could the reason for this be? It helps so much. And already I can just see so many ways that I've grown and changed, for the better. And being a mom, I think I will be a much better mom having gone through this, because I've learned about patience and hope. And like, I can't wait to tell my son about that one day, because I think he'll look at me and be like, yeah, my mom was really strong. And when hard things come, like later in my life or his, like, we'll be reminded of that, you know, and how we've, you know, worked through it. And there's always hope.
Absolutely. That's really, really powerful. And sort of along that same line with your son, did you notice as you were going through your recovery process that you were able to connect a little more and a little bit more? What was that like for you?
Yeah, it's been amazing. It's been amazing. I don't have many other words for it. I think just seeing, I don't know, like he was sick yesterday. So two nights ago, he was up a lot in the night, and it wasn't this dread or this fear, like, oh, I have to go like hold my baby. It was like, my baby's sick. Like, I'm going to go hold him. Like last night I just got to snuggle him, and just, you're able to show so much more love, I think, when you sleep, but also having gone through this and just grown and empathized with, you know, what others have gone through, it just softens your heart, and it allows all of those relationships just to be even stronger.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So going everything that you've gone through, if you can kind of look at all of it, and I know that you don't feel fully recovered yet, but I can tell you're well on your way. If there's anything, like if we have somebody watching right now who's at the very beginning of this for themselves and they're really struggling, is there anything that you would want to reach out and say to that person who's at the starting point of their journey with all of this?
I think, you know, there's a couple things. I think the biggest thing would be like, just be kind to yourself. It's so natural for so many of us, you know, perfectionists who have insomnia, to want to beat ourselves up and like be so angry with ourselves. And like, that doesn't help anything in any area of life. Beating yourself up does not help. Just to be gentle and kind to yourself. To even in the night, be kind to yourself. If that means not laying in bed suffering, go watch a show. If watching a show is too hard, just let yourself lay in bed and be comfortable. So I would say, yeah, self-kindness. And I think patience is one of the biggest things. I think it's so easy to see other people's stories and, well, this was their timeline and mine isn't moving that quick. I think just patience and waiting is so powerful, and knowing that if you have a bad night, it doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. It doesn't mean that you're not recovering. I think I've just been learning that over the last month or so, that a bad night does not equal like back to square one, because you can never unlearn knowledge. And so, yeah, I think just knowing that your like healing and recovery will come when it's the right time. And like, if it hasn't come yet, then there's probably more for you to learn. And maybe not even about insomnia, maybe about yourself. Because I think for me, if this would have ended when I wanted it to, which was like a week into the struggle, I would not be sitting here with all of these like amazing revelations that I've learned. And, you know, you can learn things by listening or reading a book or watching a movie, but like to go through a traumatic event, you learn it in your heart, and like you carry that into relationships and experiences later on in life. So I think just patience.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I know patience is hard for people going through this, but it's so important, because the more time pressure we're putting on ourselves and the more we're comparing ourselves to others, which is so common and so difficult. And that's why I really like actually that we're making an attempt to talk to people in different stages of recovery. So it's not always just maybe success, recovery. It's like, you know what? There's in between stages as well. And I'd love to loop, kind of circle back to you, yeah, you know, in the next stage and say, hey, how are things doing now? Just so we can maybe give people a bit of a, you know, transition if you're up for it. How does that sound to kind of back at some point when
That'd be amazing. I mean, I would love that. And I have no doubt that I will get there. I think, you know, right now I'm just taking it day by day and night by night. And, you know, the last week or so has been great. No really struggle at all, but I know it'll come. I know I have more learning to do just like through that experience. So yeah, I would love to touch base.
Well, I really look forward to that. And I want to thank you so much for coming today, for joining me and sharing your story with everyone. It's going to help so many people. So thank you again so much.
Yeah. Thanks, Coach Michelle. Thanks for having me. I hope that this can resonate with some people. And I know sometimes it's hard to like watch a video and then not be able to like be in contact with that person. So if it's okay, I would love to say, like, if people have questions, they can put them in the comments and I'd love to like go through and answer some of those.
No, just, absolutely.
Absolutely. So people know like I'm a real person and I'm really going through this with them.
Yeah. Well, no, I really appreciate that. And I'm sure that they will. And so it's always really wonderful when the people that we're talking to can come back to the site after it's been posted and kind of engage with some of the people that have been asked questions, because they're certainly going to come. And I know that it's going to resonate with people that are watching and help them along their journey. So thank you again for joining me today. This has been really great. It's been great to catch up with you too. Always nice to be able to reconnect with people that I've worked with and see, you know, how you're doing. And it's been great to see how well you're doing.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, that's it for today. And I'll see you next time, everyone.